When it comes to white mold, the longer you wait, the more damage you do. Stop the clock on white mold with DuPont Approach Fungicide from Corteva Agriscience. Approach Fungicide quickly surrounds the surface of the soybean leaf, so it's rapidly absorbed. Approach then moves throughout the soybean plant, providing full protection of each leaf and stem, even those that have yet to emerge. For more information, visit approach.corteva.us or visit your local crop protection retailer. Always read and follow label directions.
Well, welcome back to Farm Talk. Kind of taking it easy today, although you get by the air conditioner, any kind of ventilation system, you get a nice big breath of smoke. So it's another one of those days, although yesterday the day got better as it went along, but definitely some difficult breathing. Let's head up to the Devil's Lake Way, bring in our friend Jason Hansen from Rock and Roll Agronomy. Jason, are you dealing with a bunch of the smoke, or are you west enough?
So yesterday I was in Fargo. I was a volunteer for the North Central Weed Science Society contest, kind of the Weed Olympics, I guess. A bunch of teams come in, and we were out by the airport there west of the Fargo Dome yesterday, and holy buckets was it smoky. You couldn't, I think we were probably three-quarter mile, a mile away from the dome. You couldn't even see the roof yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was eye-opening. I actually knew it was coming from the day before. I was talking to the meteorologists up at the National Weather Service, and they're like, oh, it's going to be bad, and this and this and this. But nothing prepared you really for yesterday. We had the worst air quality, I believe, maybe in the nation. I don't know about what China and other stuff has got going on, but or actually world, I should say, but in the nation, I believe. Fargo, Fergus Falls, that area, pretty much the worst. It was not good. So
it was tough.
Yeah, tough for breathing. Talk about the event that you were at yesterday at, was it the NDSU Farm, I'm assuming?
Yeah, so this is a contest where there's five different things students have to compete in: written calibration, physical calibration, weed ID, mode of action, and then a role play where they've got a problem. And I was playing the disgruntled farmer on a scenario.
Okay.
And they get rated and scored, and there's an individual and team competitions for graduate and undergraduate. So this is the first time that NDSU has hosted this ever. And I'll say that a lot of teams that came here have never seen sugar beets, flax, or canola before.
Oh, okay.
So kind of threw them off their game a little bit, but they did well. It was really fun. Got to meet a lot of cool people.
And this is one of those things where, again, I believe this is up at their test plot. Is this Joe Eichley's event? Is that where you're at?
Yep. Joe Eichley, put this on.
Yep. So what they, and you mentioned most of it, but there's also, they only get, what, like 15 minutes or 20 minutes to diagnose what the problem is.
Yep. They got 12 minutes. There was a judge and myself, and for that, they get an hour to go through mode of action. So everything is time. So it's, they're under a lot of pressure. And
very cool.
Basically, they got to ask a lot of questions, and we don't provide them much information. They got to keep prying it out of us, and yeah, it was a good time.
So, were you a helpful disgruntled farmer, or were you trying to throw them off their game a little bit?
I didn't divulge much information. If they asked the right stuff, I gave it to them, but otherwise, I didn't provide anything. I had to kind of keep consistent so we could grade them consistently. So,
gotcha. Okay, well, the reason why, and that's great information, I didn't realize that you were going to be at that event. I did talk to Joe, I think, it had to have been early this week about that. It sounded pretty cool. They won't be reusing the plot again, from what I understand. I think that was the end of it because of what they did to some of the stuff to try and get the kids to figure out, or the people to figure out what was going on. But I wanted to ask you about the picture, the video that you posted up on, Twitter, about the giant, not so giant, but the electric power pole that had the whole thing covered pretty much with grasshoppers. So I can't tell you how many people saw that, and they wanted to know where the heck that was.
So I believe that's out in Montana, and I've gotten some other pictures. It wasn't my picture originally.
Okay.
I just did a retweet. I've seen some other pictures where people's apple trees, there's no leaves left, and apples are getting chewed on. So the grasshopper thing it's wild. Yeah, it's crazy. And even around here, it was out at the plot day, lots and lots of grasshoppers. Not to that extent, but so, yeah, this is the kind of weather they like, and boy, it's... there's a lot of them.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I was talking to somebody else about that story, and I guess Canada also has a bad crop in some of the provinces with grasshoppers, much more than what we're seeing. Although there is a fair portion of fields in some areas sporadically that are dealing with grasshoppers. Devil's Lake area, though, in your neck of the woods, it isn't too bad.
No, we've got them, but we don't have anything that we've really had to spray. I mean, I think people are more excited about stuff in their yards and gardens than I am about fields. I mean, okay. I don't have economic loss happening. I just have grasshoppers, and we don't have a lot of cattle in our area. So there's some yards that are getting hayed, but not a lot of ditches. So they're staying in the ditches where the stuff is still green.
Okay.
So that's helping out.
There you go. What's going on for activity up in your neck of the woods?
There's a little bit of harvest just starting. I mean, some barley's starting to get straight cut. There's some barley probably going to get swathed today. So just kind of getting going. There'll probably be some wheat that's going to start around in my area that'll get some pre-harvest applications put on. And so we're just kind of getting into it. But the biggest question is just how green stuff is yet. There's pockets, and I mean, it's really green. So okay. People are going to have to make a choice of what to do. You're going to keep some wheat, and you're going to lose some wheat, because if you wait for it, it's going to take forever and a week.
And you're talking your area, basically, well, you did get a couple of rainfalls, I think, recently, but for most of the summer, you didn't have anything. It took forever to get some rain. So where is the moisture at? I'm going to say clearly you're probably going to need some, but is it like still desperately dry?
We would take some rain today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. Just to maintain kind of what the last rain we got is going on. Almost, it'll be 2 weeks on Monday, this upcoming Monday. And we've had some warm temps, so we're burning through that.
Yeah.
Because we've got just particularly a stage of corn and soybeans and edible beans.
Okay.
That they're really using a lot right now. I walked a lot of corn on Tuesday before I came down to Fargo when it was very humid, and still got pollen drop. Pollination seems to be going fairly well. We just need now moisture to make sure we can fill kernels going forward.
Okay. What is it? What does the corn look like? Does it have the right height? Is it stunted? There is a lot of unevenness, or what's going on?
It's all over the board. I can show you some fairly nice corn where there was some extra snow that got caught this spring around trees, probably 8 feet tall. I've got corn that's tasseling that's probably not even chest high on me. Mm. Very, very uneven depending on the previous crop field. Soybeans seem to be about the worst. So if you were to drive by and look at it, it doesn't look that great. It's a shorter year height-wise on corn. It's not an even. So that'll play in the harvest too. We're going to have kind of the same scenario. We're going to have some corn that's going to be ready to harvest. We got some stuff that won't be. Okay. I guess I understand corn that isn't even thrown a tassel out yet.
Whoa. All right. Yeah, it's all over the board. Boy, I tell you, that's a tough harvest there. You know, we touched on grasshoppers a little bit, and I know some areas are seeing some other insect issues and some spraying is going on. Anything besides, or anything I guess we should talk about as far as insects that have been popping up?
I can find aphids now in just about every field. My numbers have come up, but I don't have anything close to the treatment levels. I did find some spider mites in some soybeans this week, very isolated, small amount. And then you got some cereal aphids that have shown up in the late seeded green heads yet. Those are probably the things that are going on there. Okay. Most people aren't too concerned about that. Mostly probably are just keeping an eye on soybean aphids is the big one.
What's the big question or two that you're getting from growers that you work with?
What do I do with these kochia patches that I have out in my wheat and barley? Is there anything I can do? And probably the biggest one is if I'm going to swath or pre-harvest application on this wheat, when do I do it?
Okay.
What's the time to do it? And it's such a, they got to make that call, because I don't know how much you want to keep and how much some of the stuff is going to be so ripe. You got to watch that for shelling. And then you got to make sure that the other stuff is far enough along. I took a sample of 5 heads out in the field, and it was anywhere from dead ripe to I still had anthers on the kernels. Well, that stuff's not going to be even close for probably 3+ weeks, the green stuff. No one's going to wait 3 weeks on dead ripe wheat to sit there and wait for the green stuff.
No.
They aren't going to do it.
Do you have much pasture land up in your neck of the woods for cattle and stuff?
Not too much? There's some cattle, but not to the degree of other parts of the state. I thought there would be more cutting of ditches and things like that just to get bales for people that are looking for it, but so far not really a lot going on.
Okay. Well, a couple minutes left. I do want to bring up your podcast. Anything new and exciting that we should check out?
This week we recorded early. We're just talking about current events, and I think we're going to get Sarah Lancaster. She was with the Kansas State team, and we're going to talk about kind of the whole aspect of this competition. So people that are interested in getting a degree in weed science know that there's a pretty awesome kind of event that they can attend either as an undergrad or graduate. Because me and Kyle, he had Motive Action and I had played in the farmer role. We never got to see the other half of it. So we thought we'd bring a coach in besides Joe Eichley. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll have her on and just kind of go through that. So,
okay. How many podcasts are you doing? You've had a few different ones that you've been running.
Yeah, I've been invited on the Joe's, the War on Weeds. Me and Kyle do ours. We do that once a week. So we got like, I don't know, 40 episodes now, I suppose. Wow. Getting close to a year that we've been doing it. And sometimes I get on some other ones, but those are the ones we mainly do.
So do you run out of ideas for content, or does North Dakota keep you agriculture keep you supplied with good ideas? As a content creator, it's not always easy.
No, it's not always easy, but you might do a short half an hour session, him and I, and then we'll bring a guest in. And that's where it's really kind of cool because you get a different perspective. And sometimes it's not even part of it's agriculture, part of it's other things that people have going on with their lives and things like that. So that's the Agronomist Happy Hour podcast, that one is. So.
Very good. All right. Well, Jason, thank you so much for the update. Your voice sounds really tired. Is that from the smoke yesterday, or have you been doing too many radio and podcasts?
No, it's from the smoke yesterday. Okay. We ate on campus at NDSU, and when you walked out of that building and hit that smoke, it was like you'd been at a campfire for 18 hours.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. So, yeah, it sounds like I've been smoking a pack of Marlboros all week, which I probably got the equivalent with the smoke that's in the area.
Yeah, some people are wondering about that, but I guess we'll figure out the effect somewhere down the road. Well, Jason Anson, thank you so much. For anybody that wants to check out your podcast, where they find them?
Yep, Agronomist Happy Hour. Just punch that in. You can find it on Apple and Spotify and on Instagram. We've got a page for that, so you'll find us. We post stuff.
Very good. Well, Jason, thank you. Go rest your voice. I'm sure we'll talk to you next week for the Daily Crop Report.
That sounds good, Eric.
All right, thanks. Thank you. Bye-bye.